Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Unfortunately, today is the last Sunday of Easter, so it's the last time I'm going to have you do that in every service. This past Thursday was a very high feast day for the church, and I was very thankful with the amount of people that did come out on Thursday night to celebrate with us. The ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the 40th day after his resurrection, Jesus ascended back to the place that he had come from to be seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. What that means is that he is now distributing his full authority, an authority that he put aside for a time. There were times when we got to see that full authority, when he would do miracles, when he had raised people from the dead, when he shined with all the brightness of the heavens at his transfiguration. But now that he has ascended back from whence he came, he is able to be with us today. In the same way, he is able to be with churches throughout the world as they gather on the Lord's Day to hear the gospel proclaimed and to receive his life-giving sacraments. Yes, Jesus Christ now gives his body and blood in this church and in many churches throughout the world because he ascended back to the Father. This next Sunday, next week, is the Feast of Pentecost. Both of these feasts are huge days for the church. For on Pentecost, the church itself, the bride of Christ, is baptized into faith. For on Pentecost, the apostles stood up and the Holy Spirit baptized them with fire. These men who had followed Jesus were given the full authority to preach, to teach, and to administer the sacraments. They proclaimed the mighty deeds that Jesus Christ had done, and thousands of souls were baptized that day. These men were given the ability by God to proclaim his truth, and the church has continued to do so ever since. So between these two high feast days in the church, we have the seventh Sunday of Easter, Exaudi. And our Old Testament lesson reminds us of words not just spoken to the Old Testament people, but to us as well. You see, God was not pleased with his people then, for they had profaned his name. Now you recall this is a people who stopped even using God's name for fear of profaning it. Instead of his holy name, Yahweh, they would call him Lord Adonai. But yet, even without using his name, they profaned it. They profaned it in what they did and what they said. The first commandment, you shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. The second commandment goes with it about God's holy name. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. That is, you shall not take his name in vain. We should not curse, lie, or deceive by his name. We shall not use satanic arts, but rather we have his name to call upon, to pray, praise, and give thanks. The fact is that you, dear children of God, have received his holy name through the waters of holy baptism. He has made you his own. He has placed his name in you. It is marked both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Sometimes even Christians will misuse his name. They will curse with his name as if they have not been bought and redeemed by that name. And unfortunately, Christians oftentimes will live the exact same way as non-Christians. We profane God's name when we live apart from what he desires us to do. The difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is that a non-Christian knows that he has failed God. He repents of his sin to God, and Jesus Christ forgives him for Jesus' work on the cross. But the Christian is called to a path of sanctification, a path that will not be ended until this life is over or Jesus Christ returns But this path is a path that each Christian must walk regardless. The path of sanctification shows us that we are living different than the world. God told his Old Testament people then, and he tells you today, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. You see, apart from Jesus Christ, apart from the Holy Spirit's work in you, you have a heart of stone. A heart that does not seek after the things of God. A heart that seeks only what your flesh, the world, and the devil desire for you. But dear child of God, you have been purchased, you have been redeemed, and you have been given a living heart. A heart of flesh. A heart that now beats for Jesus Christ. That when the devil, the world, and your sinful flesh tell you to live according to it, you can stand up to it with the power of the Holy Spirit and say, no, I desire the things of God because he has purchased and won me. I desire the will of God because he has created in me a new heart, a clean heart, a heart that follows him. You see, on Sunday morning, your flesh tells you that you are tired. It would be easier to just lay in bed for a couple more minutes of sleep. And yet your living heart, a heart that beats for Jesus, wakes you and drags you to, and sometimes even drags you to church on Sunday morning, that it might beat for Jesus, that it might be filled with his word, read and proclaimed, that it might be reminded of the baptism which cleansed you, that it be reminded of the words of Jesus Christ through your pastor that your sins are forgiven, that you might receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, which was given and shed for the forgiveness of your sins. It's God that creates that desire in you. It is God that brings you to his holy house that he might fill you with his gifts. St. Peter writes, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Have fervent love for one another, and love will cover a multitude of sins. The days of apathetic Christianity must be in the past. We must blaze a trail forward. Not the trail that we experienced before a year ago. Not the trail that said there's many things that you can do with your life on Sunday morning. Here's a tournament, here's your bed, here's a job opportunity that you don't actually need. All these things get in the way. But we cannot be apathetic any longer. We must take our faith seriously. Church should be your excuse every Sunday morning for missing everything else. Being here, being filled with the things of God, being watchful in your prayers. And not just in church every Sunday, but every single day being in God's Word. Being filled with his Word, that your joy may be full. Reading your catechism, reading the Book of Concord, being fervent in prayer with your families, teaching the faith, all of these things must happen every day that that world will not corrupt you. That your heart beats living for Jesus. St. Peter also writes, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You have gifts. You have talents that God has given you. Some of those are filled out in your vocations. Maybe God has made you a very nurturing person, and you nurture your children. Maybe God has made you very financially savvy. There are opportunities here at church to serve as well. Finances, help with our building, making phone calls, encouraging people to serve in the church, encouraging people to come to church. These are all things that we can do. These are all talents that God has given us to work in his church. We are stewards of these gifts. When we struggle with one another, it does not befit us to grumble. It does not befit us to gossip. Rather, when we have a struggle with someone, we should go and speak to them. Have a conversation with them. Work through it together, and love will cover a multitude of sins. You have fiery trials in this life just as God said you would. The life of a Christian is not always easy. You will have struggles. Jesus Christ said it very plainly. But take heart. He has overcome the world. Take heart. Every temptation that you have, Jesus Christ also had. He was perfect when we failed. He gives us an example to live by. And as he suffered on the cross to take away our eternal death, all of the sufferings we have here on earth are able to be washed away. Faith in Jesus brings us to eternity. And in eternity, there will be no more sadness. There will be no more death or disease. There will be only joy. There will be only worship of the Lamb in his kingdom, the marriage feast that has no end. So when you struggle with things here in this life, look to Jesus, that your heart may beat for him, for the things that are his. He says, have joy. Jesus Christ has conquered it on your behalf. And when we live in joy, when we proclaim to the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh that he is ours, that we are his, and when we are reproached even for the name of Jesus, if you are mocked or ridiculed, if you are put down for your faith, if you are overlooked for your faith, may it be counted as joy. May we have joy in being here with your brothers and sisters. This right here is your household, your family. May we rejoice in those things. And so the church sings today in joy words that were written in the 6th century. Christ is the world's Redeemer, the lover of the pure, the font of heavenly wisdom, our trust and hope secure, the armor of his soldiers, the Lord of earth and sky, our health while we are living, our life when we shall die. Christ has our hosts surrounded with clouds of martyrs bright, who wave their palms in triumph and fire us for the fight. Then Christ the cross ascended to save a world undone, and suffering for the sinful, our full redemption won. Down through the realm of darkness he strode in victory, and at the hour appointed he rode triumphantly. And now to heaven ascended, he sits upon the throne, whence he had ne'er departed, his Father's and his own. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.